Do you know the Klingon proverb that tells us revenge is a dish that is best served cold?
It is very cold.
Well, it must have been unseasonably cold in Houston on Thursday night because Colts wide receiver Andre Johnson served the Texans, who unceremoniously cut him earlier this year, an ice-cold dish that featured 6 catches for 77 yards and 2 touchdowns. So what do you do now? Johnson might be on your waiver wire. Do you go get him? I'll let you know what I think. We'll go over some player news, give you the latest injury updates as of the time that we're taping this podcast on Saturday morning, October the 10th. And we're going to go over who I think you should be starting in your season-long and weekly games. Oh, and speaking of your weekly games, we'll briefly discuss what went on in the world of daily and weekly games. Did someone say insider trading? We're going to talk about that and the fallout from that situation. I still am Joe Galina, and it's just a fantasy sports show starts right now. So I'm sure that after 2 straight weeks with 0 catches, a lot of fantasy players had given up on Andre Johnson, dropped him like a bad habit. All you heard was how he looked slow and he looked old. His big game against his old team, does that make him a viable option again? I don't think so. I agree with those who say that Dante Moncrief has higher upside than Johnson, even though I did start Moncrief Thursday night and he did nothing. Dante, thanks for nothing.
You blew it!
Yeah, you did blow it, Dante. Johnson's average yards per catch is still under 10, and for his entire career, his average yards per catch hasn't dipped below 11 ever. And we're looking at a different team, but in the same vein, Roddy White and his 12 targets so far this season should be dropped from your fantasy team. I had high hopes for him as a solid flex option, but hey, it's obvious that Leonard Hankerson is the solid wide receiver too in the Atlanta Falcons offense. You might see flashes from Johnson and White here and there as the season progresses, but they're going to be too inconsistent going forward for you to start them on a weekly basis. Let's take a look at some of the player news making the rounds as we are taping this podcast. Bears wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey looks like he might miss a 4th straight game against the Chiefs this week. Keep checking out the progress on his injury as a game time approaches, but he's got a bad hamstring injury that he's been battling. Bears head coach John Fox keeps his injury news very close to the vest, whatever that means. But several news outlets caught Bears quarterback Jay Cutler speaking to Jeffrey. He was speaking in a surprisingly feminine kind of voice, and he was imploring Jeffrey to
help me. You're my only hope.
I don't know what happened to Jay Cutler's voice, but Jeffrey might not be the Bears' only hope, but they do have Martellus Bennett, who had a big week 4 against the Raiders, but it seems all tight ends have big weeks against the Raiders. Bears are playing the Chiefs this week, and although the Chiefs' secondary has been exposed this season, they've given up just 4.5 fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends, so maybe Cutler's right. As expected, Bills running back Carlos Williams has been ruled out this weekend due to a concussion. LeSean McCoy is out also. That leaves Anthony Dixon and Dan Heron to possibly share some of the carries for the Bills this week. By the way, McCoy was diagnosed with a grade 2 pull and might be out until week 8 with that hamstring injury.
Won't see him no more.
Now, let's not start any rumors. He'll be back this season, but it just might take him a while. There were rumors that Redskins wide receiver DeSean Jackson, another guy whose hamstring is giving him trouble, might be available this week. Well,
forget about it.
Yeah, he's out this week. And Jordan Reed, the Redskins tight end, you're not going to see him this week either. Derek Carrier and Anthony McCoy will fill in for him. Reed was having a nice season, so it's unfortunate. Seahawks running back Marshawn Lynch is out for week 5. Thomas Rawls' backup didn't fare too well against the Lions on Monday night. Basically, the Seahawks eked out a win, but that game showed a national audience just how bad the Seahawks' offensive line has been playing. Russell Wilson was running for his life. He got sacked 6 times on Monday, 18 sacks on him so far for this season. The entire Seahawks offensive line should get together and just tell him,
I'm sorry, Wilson! Wilson, I'm sorry! Wilson! Wilson!
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious that the Seahawks miss Max Unger, their former center. You have left guard Alvin Bailey Jr. tweeting out that there are 31 other cities that he'd rather be playing in other than Emerald City.
I am Oz, the great and powerful.
Yeah, maybe the old wizard could help him find his way home. But basically, the Seahawks offensive line's not playing as a cohesive unit. The defense is still top-notch. They're fifth overall in total fantasy points scored. You know who the number one is, don't you? I mean, it's the Broncos this season. Just thought I'd throw that one in there. We've got a couple of tight ends who are out this week. 49ers tight end Vernon Davis and Ravens tight end Crockett Gilmore. Both out. A lot of you are understandably eagerly awaiting for Gilmore's return. Lastly, Steelers wide receiver Martavis Bryant, who is eligible to be reinstated this week, tweaked his knee in practice and will remain on the sidelines until at least week 6. Again, every week I recommend that you check out Stefania Bell's blog. Just Google her name and you'll find that she has some real detailed, comprehensive information regarding the NFL's injury report. She usually updates her blog by late Saturday afternoon. Real good stuff there. Also, like I said, we taped the show in advance. Like I said, we're taping this on Saturday morning, the 10th of October. So you want to check in with real-time sources before you put in your final lineups on Sunday, right? So let's move on. I wonder how many of you might not be submitting a weekly lineup in FanDuel or DraftKings this week due to the quote-unquote insider trading scandal. Let me know. I'm at Joe Gallina. I'm just curious. At Joe Gallina, at JoeGallina on Twitter. I'm sure most of you have heard that a DraftKings employee who had insider information as to who the hottest players to own in week 4 were. He won a $350,000 pool on FanDuel. Now, if you play regularly, you know that you don't know ownership values on specific players until your contest has begun. Then you could just click on a player's name and it'll come down, let's say, if a player's owned in 20% of leagues or whatnot. But this is the last thing that the daily and weekly fantasy sports games needed. FanDuel and DraftKings were really taking off like a rocket. Even Yahoo had launched a daily and weekly game. But you had senators in New Jersey who were calling for investigations into this industry even before this particular scandal took place. So they don't need any more negative attention drawn to them. I really enjoy playing in the daily and weekly games. They're fun, and as long as you play and invest with your head not over it, right, that's the old saying, you'll be fine. I'm putting weekly lineups in this week. If anything, this would be the safest week to play. They wouldn't dare be any funny business going on this week, right, with everybody watching. So all right, who are we starting at quarterback this week? Who are we starting in general? Because we got four teams on a bye. We got the Dolphins, Jets, Vikings, and Panthers all on a bye. Well, I'm going to be starting Eli Manning against the hapless 49ers in weekly and season-long games. He's $7,700 on FanDuel.
Thanks, Captain Obvious.
Yeah, I know that he's almost an automatic start this week, but I'm also willing to take a shot on Eagles quarterback Sam Bradford against the Saints. They've given up the second most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. Bradford finally had his 2015 breakout game. Lots of people were high on him in the preseason, but he got 23 fantasy points against the Redskins last week, and at 1-3, the Eagles are desperate for a win, so they should play well. If you're looking for a sleeper at the quarterback position, how about Browns quarterback Josh McCown? He had 341 and 356 passing yards over the past 2 weeks. His opponent, the Ravens, have given up an average of 18 fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. McCown has done a good job of spreading the ball around to his receivers. He's got a pretty good emerging tight end to throw to the ball to throw the ball to right now, and Gary Barnage. Barnage has done well, but the Ravens have given up the fewest fantasy points to opposing tight ends. But the good news for McCown and the Browns is that the Ravens have given up just over 31 fantasy points to wide receivers so far. McCown is 5,100 on DraftKings, 6,700 on FanDuel. Want another sleeper?
I can't hear you!
I said, do you want another sleeper? Well, I still can't hear you. But I mean, I don't really have to remind you to start Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, do I? I mean, I didn't think so. But so what about starting Marcus Mariota against the Bills. I know the Bills are supposed to have this great defense. Well, they are good, but not as good as we expected. They're 19th with 7 sacks. They've given up the 4th most passing yards per game with just over 297. And they're giving up the 3rd most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks and wide receivers. Mariota is $6,000 on DraftKings and $7,400 on FanDuel. Let's move on to the running backs. You should be starting Le'Veon Bell and Eddie Lacy. Obviously, they have very good matchups this week, and it doesn't matter who they're playing against. You just start them, right? Unless they're hurt. But I am liking Redskins running back Alfred Morris against the Falcons, who've given up the most fantasy points against any running backs. Matt Jones is going to continue to be part of that offense, but last week, Morris outtouched him 19-7. So for now, I'm going with Morris. Good value for him on DraftKings, $4,000 and $6,300 on FanDuel. Remember, DraftKings doesn't have a spot in your lineup for a kicker. They've replaced it with a flex spot. So that is going to account for some of the disparity in pricing between the two sites. If you listened to our Tuesday broadcast, and if you didn't, I'm going to ask you why not. But I did tell you about Chris Thompson. That's Thompson with a P, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N, who might have some value as a pass-catching back with bye weeks. You might be in a pinch, and you might want to look to him as somebody to plug into your lineup. Don't expect too much out of him, but just familiarize with his name. Know his name, right? Let's pile on the 49ers, why don't we, right? They've given up an average of 21 fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. Hopefully the Giants get off to a good start, take a big lead, and turn to their running game. Now, which one of the Giants backs do I start? I'm going with Rashad Jennings, $6,200 on FanDuel, $4,500 on DraftKings. I think he's going to get the most touches. The Browns are giving up 5.1 yards per carry to opposing running backs and the 9th most fantasy points to running backs. I like Ravens running back Justin Forsett. There's concern that with wide receiver Steve Smith and tight end Crockett Gilmore out, the Browns might focus on Forsett and limit his production. But since they've given up over 141 rushing yards per game on the ground, obviously that's the 2nd most in the NFL. I think that Forsett's a good start this week, $7,200 on FanDuel, $5,800 on DraftKings. I'm liking Jaguars running back T.J. Yeldon. Started him in one of my weekly leagues. The Buccaneers have given up over 18 points per game to opposing running backs. He's got value this week on FanDuel, $6,600, $4,400 on DraftKings. What do you do with the Broncos' backfield? I mean, yeah, we're talking about C.J. Anderson. He's been a big bust thus far. Ronnie Hillman will see more touches this week. Don't look at Hillman's week 4 stats and use that as the only basis for starting him, because an early 72-yard touchdown run makes him look a lot better than what he did. But clearly, Broncos head coach Gary Kubiak likes him, and he's going to get him in the mix more in this offense. And if you drafted Anderson, you probably drafted him in the 1st round, so give yourself 5 minutes to curl up in the fetal position and cry uncontrollably, and then get up.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
Or you can act like a woman. I mean, plenty of women play fantasy sports, right? I mean, look, you just have to face facts. Anderson is so far, he's a bust, all right? So Broncos running backs do have a decent matchup against the Raiders this week, so Hillman might be the way to go. As for wide receivers, well, if I'm liking Sam Bradford, I've got to like Jordan Matthews as wide receiver against the Saints this week. Also, if I'm liking Marcus Mariota, I'm liking his slot receiver, Kendall Wright. As I mentioned, that Bills defense hasn't been as good as initially advertised. They've given up just over 28 fantasy points per week. That's the 3rd most to fantasy wide receivers. The Browns have given up over 26 points to opposing wide receivers as well. So why not look at Kamar Aiken? The Ravens wide receiver caught 5 of 7 targets for 77 yards, caught a touchdown pass as well. 15.4 yards per catch last week. He's only $5,800 on FanDuel, $3,800 on DraftKings. You can also check him out as a waiver wire ad for your season-long leagues as well, at least for this week because of the injuries that the Ravens are facing. I always like starting Julian Edelman, wide receiver for the Patriots. He's a target machine, $7,700 on FanDuel, $7,000 on DraftKings. I'm also looking for a decent week from the Jacksonville Jaguars against the Tampa Bay Bucks. Allen Robinson 6,300 on FanDuel, 5,500 on DraftKings. He's Blake Bortles' number one option, but Allen Hurns has been playing real well. He's a solid wide receiver, too, who's kind of moving up. And he has better value. He's $6,100 on FanDuel, $4,500 on DraftKings. As for tight ends, well, one of Phillip Rivers' favorite targets is back. That's right, San Diego Chargers superstar Antonio Gates is a must-start. And again, if I'm liking Mariota and Kendall Wright, and if I'm saying that the Bills defense is...
And yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I repeat myself, but then I have to recommend Titans tight end Delanie Walker. He's one of Mariota's favorite safety valves. All right. Another thing, just automatically start whichever tight end is starting against the Raiders this week. It's Broncos Owen Daniels. Real cheap on DraftKings, $2,700. FanDuel, he's $4,900. Yeah, he's been of a bit of a personal bust for me in my season-long leagues, but this is a very good matchup for him. Moving on to our team defenses, two of the better ones, the Jets and Panthers. They're on a bye, and I went with the Giants. They got a great matchup against the 49ers, as I mentioned. You know, how many times Kaepernick's been sacked. So I would go with them. I also like the Bengals D. We touched on how bad the Seahawks offensive line has played so far. Bengals defense has come on in recent weeks, 5 sacks against the Chiefs in week 4. I think they're a good play this week. I mentioned the Eagles. Their back's up against the wall. They've got the Saints, who have a banged-up quarterback. He's healthy enough to play. Of course, we're talking about Drew Brees. I mean, accuracy is there for him, but he can't zip the ball in there, having trouble with the deep ball right now. You also have to look at the Chiefs at home against the Bears. They've got a great pass rush. And like the Eagles, it's almost like a do-or-die situation for the Chiefs. Everyone hates the secondary. And statistically, it's been bad. But if you look at who they faced so far this season, you know, the Broncos, Packers, and Bengals, those are some pretty tough offenses. And Bears wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey might not play for them this week. And the one bright spot for the defense against the pass, we're talking about the Chiefs, is that they've kept opposing tight ends in check. So Bennett might have a small week, right? So on to our survival pool recommendation. Okay, so last week I went all in on the Raiders. I thought they could take that next step in their evolution and go into Chicago and beat the Bears. But alas, I was wrong. It was close, but there was no cigar for me. Thank goodness I had 2 entries, and the Panthers and their defense pulled out a big win. This week I'm keeping up with my Captain Obvious persona. Going with the Giants against the 49ers. That's my own personal pick. If I wanted to be adventurous and a contrarian, I'd take the Jaguars over the Bucks, even though the Bucks are home. Chiefs are a good bet to beat the Bears this week, and I like the Eagles to beat the Saints. I told you that both of those teams are pretty desperate for a win. They're both 1-3. All right, so that's going to do it for today. As one of my old favorite broadcaster, Bob Grant, used to say, that's going to slam the lid on things for today. You can always reach out to me on Twitter. I'm at Joe Galina. That's at JoeGallina. You could also find my work on the rotoexperts.com website. They've got a great mixture of free content and an exclusive edge package that features great content for your fantasy football needs. It's constantly updated every day. New stuff coming on, just lots of great stuff that's going to help you with your weekly and season-long fantasy leagues. They got live chats that they answer questions regarding your lineups and trades. So you just get to that site. It's really good. Enjoy the games this week. It's going to be interesting. Who knows how Michael Vick's going to fare, right, on Monday night. Let's see if he's any better. As always, I do implore you to keep moving straight ahead, because if you do, then all of your fantasies will become realities. I am Joe Galina, and we'll be back on Tuesday. And thanks for listening to It's Just a Fantasy Sports Show.